Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Seven Roles of Christ, the prologue of John's Gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Jesus is the Word. First, here's a brief introduction to the Gospel of John. This Gospel differs from the other three Gospels. Matthew wrote to fellow Jews and emphasized that Jesus had fulfilled the Old Testament Messiah prophecies. Mark wrote to the Gentiles, presenting Jesus as the suffering servant. Luke also wrote to the Gentiles and introduced Jesus as the sympathetic Son of Man, focusing on his humanity. John wrote to both Jews and Gentiles, presenting Jesus as the Son of God, emphasizing his divinity. The first three Gospels described events in the life of Jesus. John recorded the meaning of those events. John's Gospel is a theological argument for the deity of Jesus. He used every event, every statement, every miracle, every title to show that Jesus is God. The apostle stated his purpose in verse 20:31. "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." John recorded seven I am statements that Jesus made that can only be attributed to God himself. He declared, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the true vine." Jesus was identifying himself with God's revelation of his name, "I am," to Moses in Exodus 3:14. These are clear claims to his deity. John also recorded seven miracles pointing to Jesus' divine nature: changing water into wine, healing a man's son, healing a lame man, multiplying bread and fish, walking on water, healing a blind man, raising Lazarus from the dead. We're going to be looking at those miracles in our next study after this study. Jesus showed power over nature, something only God could do. The greatest sign that Jesus was divine was his resurrection from the dead. John was one of the disciples to see the empty tomb, and he recorded several post-resurrection appearances by Jesus. John wanted it to be unmistakably clear that Jesus is the divine Son of God in whom we should believe. Second, consider an overview of the prologue in John, the first 18 verses of John's Gospel. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 18 are called the prologue. The prologue is much more than an introduction. It is a summary of all that will take place during Jesus' earthly ministry. John used several key words that he referred to again and again throughout his gospel as he introduced Jesus as the Son of God. There are seven pairs of words. Word in God, created and made, light and life, received and recognized, believe and become, born and God, grace and truth. We will consider each of these word pairs in this Bible study. And then third, we see John communicating his word to man. In chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, our text for this session. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Let's look at the first pair of words, Word and God. John Calvin called these verses, these two verses, the speech of God. One commentary called this verse the most compact and pulsating theological statement in all of Scripture. John used a common and effective communication technique. First, get the audience's attention. In the beginning, John grabbed his audience immediately with three well-known words. In the beginning. John didn't begin his gospel as Mark did with the testimony of John the Baptist. He didn't go back with Luke to the birth narratives of John the Baptist and Jesus. And he certainly didn't go back with Matthew to Abraham and the beginning of the nation of Israel. John started like Genesis 1:1 does. In the beginning, when there was just God. You can't go back further than God. John begins a new Genesis with the redemptive recreation work of Jesus Christ. John described him as existing from the beginning and the ultimate source of all things. So he got the audience's attention. Then the second thing of effective communication is use language all can understand. He said, was the Word. John introduced Jesus as the Word. The Greek word translated the Word is logos. In Genesis 1, in the creation story, we read 9 times, God said, with his word he created. To the Greeks, logos was a philosophical principle. It included thought, wisdom, reason, and rationality. To the Christian, logos is a declaration of redemption. Jesus is the way to God. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus Christ is a personal being, fully divine yet fully human. God's perfect revelation of himself in the flesh. John 14, verses 9 and 10. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. And then, gaining attention and speaking in a plain language, state the main point. And what was the main point? And the Word was with God. John stated, and the Word was with God. That means Jesus is in eternal, active communion with the Father. In the presence of God, face to face with Him. Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. The most common name for God in Hebrew is Elohim, which is a plural form. And what is John's main point? That Jesus is God. And then reaffirm the main point. And the Word was God. All that can be said about God can be said about the Word. John is saying that the Word was of the very essence, the very character of God, while not being identical with God. John is not saying that there is something divine about Jesus. He is affirming that Jesus is God. And then restate what you've said. He was in the beginning with God. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was there in the beginning. Notice the word He. Do you see what John is doing there? John is saying that the Word is not an it, not just a theory, not just a power, not just a philosophical principle. The Word is a person. God came to us personally. His name is Jesus. The man is the message. Jesus is God's Word to us. When God decided to give His final message to mankind, He didn't just send it in a book, which came later. Instead, He sent Himself and became that Word to us. So, what are the implications of Jesus is the Word? What are the practical values learned in an introduction of Jesus as the Word? Well, let me offer just a few. First, God has spoken. He's not mute. The Almighty is not speechless. God has spoken in His Son. Jesus reveals Him to us in a language we can understand. If you want to know what God sounds like, listen to Jesus. If you want to know what God wants you to do, read the words of Jesus. If you want to know how to get to heaven, follow the one who came from there, Jesus. So God has spoken. And second, Jesus is the mind of God. What do we know about words? They reveal what we're thinking. So Jesus reveals the mind of God to us. John 12:24. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. If you want to get to know God, get to know Jesus. If you're hungry for God, read the words of Jesus. And then third, Jesus is the complete Word. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last. Jesus said He was the A to Z. If you're looking for answers, they're found in Jesus. If you're looking for meaning, find it in Jesus. If you're looking for direction, follow Jesus. And then fourth, Jesus' words are difficult. John 6, verses 53 and 54. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is Jesus' way of saying, you have to take all of me. Not just the feeding and the miracles. You have to cross the line of faith, accept my words, and follow them completely. Do you think all the people with Jesus that day signed up? Look at verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Listen, it wasn't difficult to understand. It was difficult to follow. Verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Jesus challenges people to make a stand. There's no middle of the road. There's no gray area. There is no fence straddling. With Jesus, it is all or nothing. It is life or death. It with him or against him. Stay or leave, follow or withdraw. And then fifth, Jesus has the words of life. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. As many followers left him, Jesus asked the 12 in verse 67, do you also want to go away? Peter's response in verses 68 and 69 was, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we've come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He knew that the one standing before him was God. What a confession of faith. If you're looking for the answer to life's questions, if you're looking for the one who lifts every burden, if you're looking for the giver of eternal life, his name is Jesus Christ. And then sixth, Jesus is the last word. I remember a bumper sticker that was popular during the 1980s. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That statement is only two-thirds true. The truth is, God said it, and that settles it. Whether I believe it or not, Jesus will have the last word. What will be Jesus' last word for you? Will it be, welcome home, my good and faithful servant? Or will it be, depart from me, I never knew you? Will you believe in him and follow him? You think about that, and you have a great day.